Hey there, it's Dane Reinhardt, NAHU president, bringing you President's Perspective, a conversation with current and future leaders of NAHU.
Welcome to another edition of President's Perspective with our awesome, unbelievably effective, small ego president. I'm sorry, I'm going to do that again. Welcome to another episode of President's Perspective with NAHU President Dane Reinhardt. My name is David Smith. We're continuing to do it. The people who've really given us great feedback about how effective this is and trying to make it easier to have something to listen to rather than something you might have to read on your phone while you're driving somewhere. This way we avoid traffic accidents and give you good information about where NAHU is. So Dane, how you doing?
Good. I'm glad to hear the trains are running on time down by you.
Yeah, that train comes by with great regularity. It's either that or it's the freight train, and the building vibrates totally differently. So
in between Durham Bulls games, I guess.
Sadly, there aren't any Bulls games either. I mean, the Orioles are playing, but you know, here they're doing no minor league baseball this year.
I don't believe it or not, if that season ended today, the Orioles would be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I saw some article yesterday about some major leaguer who's batting 500 through like 3 or 4 weeks, which has never happened.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Well, I'm glad to be getting back on another podcast for those that are listening to us. We just wanted to let you know that we're going to be trying to move this to an every other week format instead of doing monthly. So we're going to try to keep that for the rest of the year and have regular visitors pop in and say hello and talk about relevant items inside of the NAHU umbrella and continue to have the fun that we do have while we do this. So thanks for listening, everyone.
So I thought one of the things we might talk about today was kind of leadership and how that is going. I know one of the things you and I talked about probably 3 years ago in Oregon was the difficulty in trying to be president and be effective is all about who you have with you on the team. And I was wondering if you could share some insights on how important that's been for you so far.
Yeah. So some of the things we've talked about in the past and putting into action now that inside of NAHU, there is this removing, and it's not conscious, it's just sort of the natural evolution where the siloing of all the things that we do from PD to awards to chapter leadership development, they're all intertwined. And one of the things that we started doing since July 1 is having regular calls with all the chairs participating. And as you know well, we only have 3 chairs that are voting members of the board. So the rest are committees. It just felt to me somewhere along the way that the committee chairs should have more of a voice with the other chairs so that there's sort of an equitable platform for just talking together. So we just had our second call a few days ago, and it was really very interesting. And I dropped in on the HOOPAC committee call, and I did learn quickly why we don't want me doing anything having to do with HOOPAC, because it was technical, political, legislative stuff that was way beyond my knowledge base and experience. But I did hear Terry Allard speaking about the fact that they've been doing a fair amount of drip to the membership over the last 6 to 9 months about what HOOPAC does and those kinds of things, and that they were going to be moving the messaging in a different way. And this has all been done through social media. And there's no way that Terry would necessarily know that Debbie Stocks and her team with Rachel Miner are looking to do more with the staff on the media relations side. We are going to have the concept of internal and external communications, and that side would be internally messaging to our members, whether it's about something that is relative into what we do on a legislative front, or it might just be something silly and fun, like the fact that that same person is still hitting 500 6 weeks later and maybe breaking some major league record for a season. Who knows what we end up sending out. But in that example, Terry wasn't aware that she could be collaborating with Debbie and her team. And there's so many of those things. In fact, I have a regular weekly call with Susan Ryder on PD. And one of the things that she's just taken the initiative to do with professional development is to have a call with every single chair this year starting July 1 so that she understands from a collaboration perspective what everybody's doing. So the purpose of our calls that we're doing monthly is to do what Susan's doing on a more macro level. And it's been really productive. And even if it's just in the name of building synergy, but there's been some good foundational stuff coming out of those calls, and it's been very productive.
I do think that the point that came to me out of that call was remembering being a local president, a state president, and how often you feel overwhelmed, the lack of communication, and then struck yesterday by the fact that the same thing happens at the national level. And here we are as national committee chairs, and we don't know what anybody else is doing, which is why that aspect of, it's not about communication. It's not even about my territory. It ultimately becomes about slowing down enough to listen, because everybody really ultimately is willing to kind of pitch in and do things together. So,
yeah. And I would say to any of the state and local folks that they go ahead and try some of that open dialogue in any of the meetings they're having. And it's going to be really useful, because not only is it going to be helpful now, but there's things going on within NHU that are just going to require that we evolve even more. And so there's going to be need for everybody to collaborate and change a little bit over the next few years, whether it's from Vision 2025 or other things that we're doing. Membership's going to change. We don't know what that's going to look like exactly, but it's going to change. We know that awards is going to change, not dramatically, but there's going to be enhancements and things to it. And chapter and leadership development all these things are going to change. And we're in the process of developing all those now. And none of it's radical, but to the extent that folks can figure it out. I mean, I remember that whole thing when Vanguard goes to college is still alive, especially in concept. And those kinds of things just evolve into something else, which, you know, one could argue evolved all the way into Vision 2025 in some ways.
Yeah, no doubt. So one of the things that I know you and I have talked about kind of offline, but really want to integrate into this process is, you know, the reminder that we're still all in business, right? As president of NHU, you're not doing this 24/7. You still have a business, you still have a practice, you still have things going on in terms of prospects and new opportunities. And, you know, one of the things, you know, talked about in the past is that NHU really ultimately needs to be about helping its members both get clients and keep clients. And so we're joined today by Kevin Curran. We'll let him introduce himself in a second. But I know you have experience working with Kevin on your side in terms of different products and different real specialty areas for your clients.
Our firm had a history with Kevin and his business partner, Matt Massone. They've worked for separate carriers on the ancillary, so primarily the life and LTD side, between them probably 35 years experience on the carrier side. And they went off and started something new, which he'll speak to in a few minutes. But when they approached us about the concept, we realized, and I've said this to my clients separately, that I got into this business on the advisory side back in 1990 and really got a focus in the health and employee benefits area in the mid to late 90s. And back then, you know, it was a lot of just renewal delivery and helping with claims. I'm not saying it was exclusively that, but that was the majority of what we were doing. And now that if you can't do that, then you're out of business. And today it's how can you help people with, I mean, you know this better than me, David, the level of complexity that you as a broker are doing on just the compliance side and fluctuating hours or anything having to do with ERISA, which has been around since then, but there's more of an emphasis through PPACA on a lot of these issues, that our time's being pulled away from us as advisors to focus on the issues that predominantly have to do with the health plan. Most of what's happened since COVID are dealing with those issues. What happens with furloughed employees? They're not calling about their life and disability. They're calling about their health insurance for their folks that they're furloughing. And so Kevin and his team have put an emphasis on the life and disability, not exclusively those benefits, but in that theme. And they've become brokers. And there are other members that are, especially the number of them in leadership for NHU, that fill that role of being on the broker side. And they've helped us do what we do on that side with our clients to be way more effective and to grow our revenue significantly. So it's been a win-win for us. And Kevin, thanks for jumping in and being part of the call today. Dave and I are trying to mix up some of the things we're doing inside the podcast and you're sort of the first technical expert we've had, but we know you're a lot more interesting than I possibly could be. So thanks for jumping in.
I appreciate the introduction, James Joyce.
Yes.
No, you're 100% right. I mean, one, just thank you both for having me today. And when we made the decision to start a business and to found our company, it's called EB SME LLC, and that stands for Employee Benefit Subject Matter Experts. The idea was to bring in technical skill set. So not a partner that you can outsource administration and implementation to or billing, not somebody who's going to use life and disability insurance to maybe fund technology or something of that nature, but really have always been enamored with, like, what is the best, most simplified technical consultation that you could give a client where they could walk away saying, I legitimately now feel empowered. I understand these benefits. I understand the limitations that exist today. And I understand how I could maybe pull the various levers of premium and provision to be a better fit for my organization. So the goal is, if what you talked about there at the very beginning, Dane, with what you did back in the 90s, life and disability is still being transacted that way in the market today. Somebody says, hey, I got the renewal on the in-force plan. That plan might have been put in 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. Somebody is in a rush saying, send it to market, have people price the in-force plan for the lowest possible rate, and we're going to go stick that in front of the client. And at what point do you stop and do the analysis? And I think the real problem that is happening is also hinted at what you spoke about there, which is the idea of sort of twofold agencies, that the two primary problems as I see them. The first being responsibility creep. So every year, a broker is being asked to do more on 100 different fronts. And then from there, it's really the idea that, okay, well, maybe you're not making less money per se. Let's say your agency is maintaining or even growing some. You're still declining revenue per employee hour worked because you're being asked to do more. And I think one of the great things that TriBridge has done is you all have so many different, like, just genuinely talented subject matter experts. And you, as the strategic advisor, get to source them at the correct time for that client. I see that being the model going forward. That's how people are going to win business. That's how people are going to retain business, is you're going to come in not with a promise of better service, but you're going to technically out-consult the next broker down the line.
I think that's a great point, Kevin. I think one of the pieces that really is always interesting to me is that as our business has gotten more and more complex and there are more and more products out there, it has become harder and harder for people to understand the pluses and the minuses of different opportunities. And, you know, I do mainly health. I feel like I know a lot about health plans. I feel like I know a lot about the products that are out there. And with almost every one of the group renewals that I work on, I turn to my other partners to talk about ancillary stuff. If somebody said, does this disability policy cover this or that? My answer almost always is, I don't know. Let me go read the policy, because I know that for me, my best efforts on health. I know from our conversations in the past that one of the things that's really great about your business is that you really help bring and empower agents to find the right product, particularly in the disability side, to help their clients' unique needs. And I'm interested to hear how that's evolved and how that's going. I mean, I think that's really interesting for people to hear. Sure. Because again, keep in mind, we're talking to agents from Maine to Florida to Hawaii who are all in this business, and we're all running into similar challenges. It's always interesting to figure out how we become better at what we do.
Well, I won't put our broker's laundry in the streets or Dane's laundry in the streets, but I can say that we produce at the same level for a lot of our agencies as well as a producer does. So if you look at Marshberry data, you know, $100, $200, maybe even $300,000 in new revenue growth in a year, we've been able to sustain that year over year for a number of our partners. And a lot of that is acquiring new business. I can look at hundreds of thousands of dollars of multi-hundred life groups in the last year that said, okay, you regional broker competing against the big box consulting house. And honestly, it was the ancillary that stood out as the coin toss. And I have brokers that would make the testament to that fact. at some point, something has to be the deciding factor. And this isn't just your agency. If you're out there saying, I'm a medical person that is doing a lesser job at this, everybody is doing a lesser job at this. And so our growth has been north of 40% year over year. We're hiring in the midst of COVID. And so I was 7 years a carrier rep, and I will be 7 years in the next month being at this business. It's been tremendous. I think the greatest testament that we find what we do is, you know, without putting an exact number on it, we are well over 100 shared clients with several agencies at this point. And we probably only have a dozen agencies that we partner with now. So we work at depth. And I would say to people out there that are looking to partner, I'd be really wary about partnering with somebody that can't give you a reference that has gone back to the well again and again and again and again and again. Because there's something that's not holding up there. The people that are looking to go an inch deep and a mile wide, I worry about that. And us not being worksite people and doing something a little bit different, which is that technical disability analysis, also life insurance. But I mean, Dane says this a lot to folks. There's no worse call that we get as agents than that employee that's going out on a long-term disability or a degenerative disease or something that's going to end in death. That's the worst emotional call that we get. It's also the biggest fear-based time, because in that moment, you have to say, what's in my policy? And unfortunately, the majority of education in our industry is happening after a claim occurs. And we're trying to move that education forward before the purchase is made. So redesigning the purchasing process to empower people to understand the limitations, to understand what the options are. You know, a life and disability consultation for us is every bit of an hour-long meeting, and I don't think most people would put that sort of time and attention to it. Dane, I don't know if you want to add anything to anything there.
One, from a membership perspective, Kevin, you've done, I know you were part of convention two or three summers ago, and then most recently were part of the virtual convention. Is that right as well? So yep. Kevin and his team has supported the NHUPD side as well along the way. The one thing I would add to that is that this also allows any size broker consultant. I can think of a few offhand that are growing rapidly, but are from a size perspective, revenue or employee count, relatively small, but they're able to compete on these multi-thousand life groups where they wouldn't be able to walk in and handle the medical or be given the keys to the car on that. And it's become either a way that some very few, I don't know of many, or you probably do, of any that do just life and disability around the country. But that would certainly be something I would love to ultimately, I'd love to be a multi-million dollar agency that does life and disability.
Sure.
But it's a door opener to get it, to get into some of those groups. And not even for us, it's less of the jumbo stuff than it is the one where you're said, you know, no, we've got a relationship with. There's one in particular that you and I worked on 3-4 years ago that's become one of the biggest clients of our firm. And the way we got traction there was you coming in and talking about the ancillaries there. And I remember specifically one of the partners in charge of these, who still is, said, I've never seen a presentation about these benefits done that way. And that was the difference. So it's been certainly overlooked. And I think there's room to differentiate, especially in a market. There's a lot of noise about really complicated things, to take an approach that's just different in your prospecting.
I couldn't agree more. And I mean, I don't want to discount other people's models, but in our space, there's not a lot of people that are focusing on the risk. There are a lot of them are former carrier reps that do it better, but they don't have a method. And I think that's really what we bring to it. You know, we had a partner who has said that it's on several occasions that whether I work with you, whether I work with Matt, whether I work with Taylor or anybody else on your team, even though each of you have such different personalities, the client level consultation comes out as close to Budweiser as you can get. There's a consistency to it. There's a rhythm to it. And Dane, you're probably the only producer that we work with that can take a presentation and get the same outcome that we would get. And I know you've said it before that looking through our presentation, it reads like a story. And that's really what we try and develop, is a narrative. And so you start on chapter one and you're like, oh, I'm so excited to see what's coming up on chapter four here. sort of terminology to it. So there's more to be done. This is one silo. This is one area to be an expert. I know you're going to have more folks in these areas. I think the gig economy in employee benefits is going to be growing. So I look forward to seeing what other experts you have in these environments in future episodes. So thank you guys very much for having me today.
That's great, Kevin. I agree completely with the idea that stronger partnerships make us all better in terms of what we do. And so thank you for doing that. But Kevin, one of the funny things, when you first got on, I know you were trying to tell your kids to stop streaming everything. How many kids do you have?
My son's 7 years old. My daughter's coming up on 13.
How long have you been married?
9 years. We had a lovely French bistro set up in our bedroom last night so we could actually have like a quiet evening away from the children. So
until you got my text.
Wine that I proposed with, all that stuff. So it was a good night.
This is the PG. This is the PG program. We don't need more details than that. But it is good to get some balance here because, you know, someone who's happily married versus me and Dane. I mean, it's always good to have some, you know, unique perspectives. But the reason I asked about your kids is because it's just funny. Dane next week is taking his daughter to Ole Miss. My daughter is at Ole Miss, and she's a few years ahead of her.
Yep.
But it's just so interesting to see how we're all at different places in our lives. And I just think that's always another interesting aspect of what we do. We all have real lives behind the scenes, and our kids do crazy little things. But I just thought it was funny. You're like, let me go tell them to stop streaming stuff so I can actually do my work.
It's been one of the most human parts of COVID. You know, when you're on a call with a client and your client who's Mr. or Ms. Polished person is like, no, I said take the dog for a walk, or you know, whatever it is. And everybody just becomes like each other. We're like, okay, we're all the same. It's been really nice, that human element of doing those kinds of things and getting to really get to know people a little bit on a personal level.
Let me also.
My 7-year-old son refuses to wear shirts, so you might see him wander into the side of a screen. It's happened once or twice.
That's the beauty of their uniqueness. It really is.
Yep.
I'll take a moment and also recognize this week's sponsor, Eat Here Now, a service from Ashley that will tell you exactly where you should eat, regardless of where you're traveling throughout the world. And if you don't go and take pictures and tell her all about it, well, then you're sorry for not being kind. So a great service and a great sponsor for this program, along with Kevin and his company today. So we're very thankful. I thought we'd wrap up a little bit and talk just, you know, one of the interesting themes about today is really about none of us are alone, right? None of us are alone in our businesses. None of us are alone in leadership positions within the association. And thought you both might take a minute, just share a personal experience where you turned to someone else and how that helped you become better at what you do. So Kevin, I'll start with you since Dane will talk the longest.
I have some real saints looking back in my history, because when I started in this business in selling, I was like most young reps, filled with hubris. I was going to take over the world, and I just failed miserably. My manager at the time, Royce Weaver, and then followed by a gentleman named Scott Madison, both just showed me tremendous patience, told me to slow down and focus not only on the technical element, which is where I constantly want to geek out and like, look, man, take a little time, build the relationship. You want to have deep relationships places. Like, you don't need 100 agencies selling with you. You need 10. If you can get to 10, you're going to be a wildly successful rep. And for 7 years that I was there, they constantly were pulling me backwards and telling me to slow down, stop trying to make the sale in this particular meeting all the time, play the longer game, and just have such an appreciation for both the carrier that I worked for and those two individuals for all that they did to manage me to be a human being.
That's incredible advice. I'd tell everybody who's under 40 that they need to slow down, because where they are is always trying to prove themselves, always trying to do the next thing. And it's funny, I think for me, when I turned 40, I suddenly stopped having to prove myself. And it's a hard thing to do, but I think slowing down is a great, great piece of advice. So thanks, Kevin. Dane, what's your story?
Yep.
There have been so many, and so I'm not going to go into all of them because it is a podcast. But the one that jumped off the page when you asked the question, I started 2 weeks after I graduated from college. I started selling life and disability insurance under the MassMutual umbrella, and the then general agency in Baltimore was run by a man named George Boynton, who has since passed. What a gentleman, one of the kindest, most thoughtful, caring people. who trained a lot of people on how to be successful. And he believed in me in ways that no one believed in me. And when he retired, he sent me a note that I still have that basically said how proud he was of me and that he doesn't know anybody that could have taken the punches that I took and kept standing up with that bloody nose and keep wanting more. So he was somebody that really encouraged me, and I will forever remember.
Well, I think that's an important thing I think has come out of the association for me. I think for a lot of us, that the people that have kind of inspired us to keep doing great things are the lessons that we pass on to the next group. And I know that that's just something that comes up all the time in work and the stuff we do with association in life. So I appreciate both of y'all sharing that. So Kevin, if people want to get a hold of you, where can they contact you at?
Kevin.Curran, C-U-R-R-A-N, at ebsme.com. That's ebsme.com. My cell phone, 443-289-0334. Look forward to speaking to anybody that's interested.
Again, really appreciate, Kevin, you being on here and being willing to kind of share some perspective that I think really will help agents go out and do more and be better prepared to help their clients and really find what their right needs are. So thanks again for being on here. I'll close as I usually do with Dane reminding you of how to text him if you got any feedback or thoughts.
Again, I do get probably 5 to 10 texts after each podcast. Please feel free to reach out to me, 410-746-5281. Love hearing from you all. It's been a pleasure working as your president for the last 6 weeks and looking forward to doing a lot more.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good week.